I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ today. Continuing the study in the book of Revelation, we are in the 11th chapter. Today we're going to kind of be back and forth just a little bit. There is some things of some background, I guess I could say, that we're going to be looking at concerning the temple of God, the altar, and the time period, all those things. And so we're going to read today down through the 12th verse, but we'll only be covering the first two verses. But I want you to see what's coming, and so that you can read that and be excited the next few weeks as we cover these areas of Scripture. Revelation chapter 11, beginning to read with the first verse. "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks, standing before God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. They of the people and kindred and tongue and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entereth into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." And you'll notice the next, if you've got a little note there, that we find this to be the second woe. Let's begin with prayer now after the reading of the Scripture. Father, thank you today, and I just ask for your leadership, your direction, your power. No man can proclaim your word without your power. We can speak it, but it's not going to be of any value unless, dear Father, you go before it and you deliver it. And so please today that you be the deliverer of these words, and that they touch every heart that's here. Those that know you as their Savior, they've been born again, they know you, they know that their home is going to be in heaven, they've experienced your power and your strength, they know that you live within their heart. Today is a day to grow and to learn and to have a greater desire to give out the gospel to this lost and dying world. But, dear Father, for those that do not know you as their Savior, they have never come, they have never called upon you, please today that they will. Please, that they'll call upon you and trust in you, and please that your Spirit is allowed to get into that heart today. Please, speak to all, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We find as we progress through this precious book of Revelation, we kind of find ourselves looking at the judgments that's coming upon the earth. And I think that we're missing many times what is about to happen. What God is doing is destroying his enemies and preparing for his re-arrival and his rule and reign upon this earth. And so when we see all these things take place to the wicked upon the earth, those that deny the cross of Christ, those that are religious but lost, those that are of the Antichrist and they serve the devil, there will be a day when they'll realize and recognize that God is beginning, through this section here, to take possession of his own. That's what he's doing. So keep that in mind. The earth is the Lord's. It was created by him and for him. However, we know that it has been under satanic rule for over 6,000 years. And so this period of time, and God gave this dominion, this control, to a man named Adam. But it wasn't long that Adam disobeyed, and he sold out to the devil. Do you realize that when Adam did that, that Adam lost everything? Adam lost everything when he deliberately disobeyed the Lord. One of these days, my friend, the one that's called the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will come and he will redeem, gain back, take possession of all that the first Adam lost. And that comes to the earth and all of his creation. You and I can come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be his if we'll just accept that free gift of salvation that he offers. If we'll just understand that the precious blood that was shed upon Calvary was shed for you and for me. And all we need to do is come by faith and trust in him. So, including all the earth and all of his creation, he will reclaim, repossess, come back, own it. Today, the devil, the prince of the air, the god of this age, he is the one that rules and reigns over this earth. But one day, Jesus will personally put the devil and his angels into the lake of fire, the burning with fire and brimstone. There'll be a time when finally this devil will deceive no nations any longer. And all this process of the opening of the seals, all this of the sounding of the trumpets, all this of the proclaiming of the woes, is all God's plan and process to take back the possession of this earth and all that's here. That's why he's coming. To reclaim it, to regain it. This chapter 11 that we look at here in Revelation gives us the beginning, and we've been talking about that, but here this gives us the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. During this time, the Gentiles will make their last attempt to destroy the God that they hate, the people of God, and God's plan of salvation. The world is out to destroy because their God is the devil. Being led by the devil, they hate what God stands for. They hate who stands with God. They hate God's word. They hate God's chosen people. So they're out to destroy all of it. And during this last 3.5 years, they're going after with a vengeance to accomplish this. And you see, the world is too ignorant to know. The world is too ignorant to understand that that's all in God's plan for them to literally destroy themselves. They will. Everything of the heaven that comes from heaven is good. It's a blessing. Everything that comes from this earth is accursed. and has the leadership of the devil himself. We look at this time here, and especially we're going to concentrate, focus today on these first two verses. I'm not going to get any further than that. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. The times of the Gentiles. Kind of talked about this a little bit downstairs in the Sunday school class. The times of the Gentiles. You know, you think that the maybe would start at 70 AD when the temple was destroyed and the Israelites were scattered abroad, scattered everywhere. And we know the month of May, the year 1948, is when God brought the nation of Israel back, gave them a portion of their land, took back possession of that. But actually, the times of the Gentiles started all the way back in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Because in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, you'll find that in the previous chapter, chapter 35, Josiah was wounded in battle and died. Joahaz, the son of Josiah, was put in his place. He was 23 years old. He only reigned for 3 months. And within that 3 months, the king of Egypt, you know, we think of Babylon, Assyria, and the Medes and Persians with all the empires. But this time, you see, the problem was that they kind of joined together with Egypt, hoping for some help and some power against the enemy of the Assyrians that was coming. Well, in 3 months, the king of Egypt came up, took the king of Israel, king of Judah, the son of Josiah, back to Egypt. And the king of Egypt put his brother to rule and to reign. And at that time was really the beginning of the Gentiles. No longer was there a king that was a Jew or an Israelite in Judah. Wasn't long, of course, that Nebuchadnezzar came and then took the whole area away, and it became under the rule and reign of the Babylonians. And then when Nebuchadnezzar was in Babylon was destroyed, the Medes and Persians came onto the scene, and that's when they were able to re-arrive back into the country. But understand, they never took possession of it. There was always someone there under the days of the Lord Jesus who ruled the whole area of Jerusalem and Judah and the northern kingdom. Rome did. So never again did Israel really have possession of their land from the time that we go clear back into 600 B.C. Prior to the taking of the city with the king's brother, the king of Egypt, and then put his brother to rule and reign. So that's the time of the Gentiles. Now, that did not come, Israel did not have possession again until May of 1948. Even today, this little tiny territory, if you look on the globe, why, it's about the size of the lead of a pencil. And yet, for so much of the news and the press of the day is about the Palestinians and Israel and the Jews and the battle and the building on the West Bank and all the things that goes on. Why? Who cares about that little tiny country? Well, you see, they hate God. They hate God's people. They hate anybody, this world hates anybody that lifts up the name of Jesus. Because you see, this world don't believe they need a Savior. But we know that they do. So even still today, if it not be for America and for England and for other few other countries, we would think that the little nation of Israel would be vanished, it'd be gone. Well, we know that if the day comes, and it sure could come, that America no longer stands with them, that it'll be our hurt, not Israel's, because God's not going to let anything happen to his people. He's going to care for them. He's going to protect them. and he's going to make one more call to them, and that's during this tribulation period, to bring his people back to him. The world hates, the Arabs hate, the Palestinians are out to destroy him. The world, the hatred of the world, you can hear it. It's continuing to increase. The hatred for this nation, the nation of Israel. The times of the Gentiles will come to an end when Jesus returns and destroys the Antichrist and his armies. That's when the time of the Gentiles will end. You can find that if you want to look that up this afternoon, Revelation 19, verse 11 through 21. You'll find that area of Scripture. The last verse of chapter 10, we are told that John is to prophesy again before the people, the nations, the tongues, and the kings. And then this first word of chapter 11 connects it together. And there was given me a reed. And so we can bring those together. So you see, in tying these two together, John begins. John is given a reed. He is told to rise up and measure. Again, this begins, continues the process of the victory that Jesus is going to have upon this earth. We look at it as a most horrible time, and it will be. But these are enemies of God, and God's a just God, and God is going to have his justice. God's righteous. God's got to make it right. And all those that have stood against him will pay the price. Again, this is the beginning of the taking over of all things by our Lord Jesus Christ. John's given a reed. It's called a rod. You can find some cross-references of that in Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 3, and Zechariah 1:16. He was given directions of what to measure. He was told to measure the temple, the altar, and the worshipers. So this gives us a thought or a suggestion that God will preserve and protect the temple and the altar and those that truly worship him. And we know that God will do that. Up until this time, John has just been one that has witnessed things to go on. This is the first time now, if you'll notice, he's beginning to be involved in it. He will no longer just be an outsider looking in, looking and seeing and hearing what's going on. Now he's told to do something. He's told to measure the temple, the altar, and the worshiper. John immediately follows this direction, and he does just that, the temple, the altar, and the worshiper. When the Jews ask Pilate to release Barabbas and crucify Jesus, that was the turning point when the Jews was set aside. We think of the birth of the church at Pentecost. We think of a lot of different, but the deciding time, the judgment upon these people, when they, the Jews, God's chosen people, when God's chosen people ask Pilate to release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And it wasn't just that he was to crucify him, but do you remember the words? Because they said, "Let his blood be on us and upon our children." You talk about a curse. This is God's chosen people. So for this season, this period of time, then Israel has been set aside. But this calling back is coming now during this tribulation period. And this is a time when we begin to hear the words, the temple, the altar. A God didn't set Israel, didn't cast them away. He just set them aside. He blinded them, and they've been blinded as far as a nation's concerned for the last 2,000 years. A Jew could be saved, and many Jews are saved. But they're saved as an individual. They're saved just like you and I are saved. We believe that Jesus died on the cross and died for us and shed his blood for us and rose again. So doing this during this time of the Gentiles, during this church age, the Jewish worship as they knew it was to cease. Now, it did cease in 70 when they were told for it to end, and it should have ended when Jesus was born and was crucified and died and rose again. All their forms of worship should have ended because they no longer needed to bring sacrifices. They no longer needed the offerings and things that they had. They no longer needed to celebrate the feasts as they had, because all that pointed to Jesus, and Jesus was now here. But they missed him. They were looking for a king, not a savior. They need someone that was going to take and destroy Rome so they could get their land back. That's what they wanted. You know, many times we get short-sighted. We kind of look at today and we don't see tomorrow. We don't think about what we should be storing up in heaven. We try to store things here. Things of this world are so important that we forget that it is just a vapor. This life is nothing. And so we need to be doing things and serving our God and praising our God, that there'll be rewards in heaven for us. Let's do something of value. This order of worship that should have ceased and did in 70, again, was the beginning of the church age. This will continue until the church is raptured, and upon the church being raptured, caught up in the air to be with the Lord, at that time then will we find the tribulation period to begin. And this worship of the Jews will once again be restored. They will begin to bring their offerings and their sacrifices. Now, what is something that they need to do to possess to do that, to bring the offerings and the sacrifices? What do they need? They need a temple. They need an altar. And so the temple will be restored. The Jews cannot worship without a temple. Their religion, they have to have that temple. You know, our worship is in spirit and truth. And if a Jew is saved today, they're not saved at a temple, because we know that the mosque of Omar stands where the temple was built. But so today, if a Jew is saved, they or Israelite is saved, they would be saved in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit comes to live within their hearts just like it does with us. But in the Old Testament times, and now in the tribulation times, we find that worship will be restored. They will begin once again to do as they had done in the past. This temple, the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. It will be rebuilt upon that spot where the mosque is at. It will be restored there and built there. There has been many temples. We have studied through the Old Testament and enjoyed a study of those. The first temple that was built, David wanted to build it, wasn't allowed to. He was a man of war. God said and so David brought all the products in, and Solomon then, his son, built it. Well, that temple was next to the best of the temples that was to be built. Next to the best. It was a glorious temple. Beautiful temple. It was destroyed in 588 B.C. Find that in 1 Kings chapter 7. Then Zerubbabel's temple was built. You'll find its destruction It was a lesser temple than Solomon's. You'll find it to be the destruction of it in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. Next is Herod's temple. Herod's temple is the one that was there when Jesus was walking upon the earth. You'll find in John chapter 2, verse 20, speaks of it and its destruction. 70 A.D. is when it was destroyed. Now, there are five temples. I've listed three. I've said that Solomon's temple was next to the best. There is to be a temple built during the tribulation period. And that temple will be rebuilt during the first 3.5 years. Won't be like Solomon's temple. Won't be like Zerubbabel's temple. Won't be like Herod's temple. It won't take years to build it. They'll build it in 3.5 years. Build it in 3.5 years. And so the first half of the tribulation period, it will be rebuilt. And the one that will rule and reign there, of course, is the Antichrist, not our God. There is one more temple, and this is the best temple. It's also a temple to come, and that will be the millennial temple that will be here upon this earth for 1,000 years when Jesus rules and reigns. If you want to read about the beauty of that temple, look to Ezekiel chapter 40 and on. And you can find some of the information about that millennial temple. Ezekiel chapter 40 and from there on. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16 and in chapter 6 verse 19, Paul makes it very clear that the body is made up of born again, blood washed believers. And it says clearly right there that we are the temple of God. So you see, we don't need a temple. The Samaritan woman says, you know, we worship in the mountain. You worship in Jerusalem. You know, a lot of people say, you know, you shouldn't condemn other religions. Jesus did. He told point blank to that Samaritan woman that I worship in Jerusalem. That's where the proper place to worship, and that is the only place to worship. You look in the Gospel of John, 4th chapter, and you'll see that. He was saying, I am the only way. But at that time, he had not died yet. So still, Jerusalem, the temple, both of those places were very important and very necessary for the Jew. Jerusalem is the only city on earth where there's a temple of stone that God has put his blessing and sanctioned it, so to speak. None other. We find that as we look at the second verse, the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Last half of the 7-year tribulation. Jerusalem is the holy city spoken in the Bible. It's the only time, only reference of a holy city is Jerusalem. So when you see Jerusalem or you see the word holy city, you know that it's the same. It's the same. You can find it in Nehemiah 11, Isaiah 52, Daniel chapter 9. Periods of time that is spoken of here. 42 months. You find in Revelation third verse, you'll find it is 1,260 days. You can look in Revelation 12:14 and Daniel 9:2, it is spoken of time, times, and a half time. So we have three different time periods here. We have the beginning of 42 months. We have 1,260, which is 1,260 days. Or we have a time, times, and a half time all refer to one thing, the last half of the tribulation, 3.5 years. So anytime that you see those numbers, that's what it's talking about, is the last half of the tribulation. So for 1,260 days, the Gentiles will tread down the people of Jerusalem. They'll tread upon them like mud, like mire. The last 3.5 years, even those that are not Christians. You see, during the first half of the reign of the Antichrist, during the first half of the tribulation period, you've heard us speak many times that it's kind of a time of peace. It'll seem like peace is coming upon the earth. Well, at the midway is when it really begins to show his true colors. And so, even those that are not Christian, they will begin to befriend. They will be friends with the Jews. All will be well. The temple is built. They will help build the temple. All will be done. They'll come and worship and probably worship with them. All this seems to be going so well. But remember back some time ago that we found one of the writers during this time of peace had a bow and no arrow. Well, that's that same period of time. But this same people will turn and in a vengeance, in a terror, will go after the Jews. Isaiah 8:18-6 tells us that very clearly. Thus the Gentile enemies will turn loose the fury upon Judah, upon Israel, upon God's chosen people. That's what we have in the first two verses of chapter 11. We've looked at the time. We've looked at the different temples that we've had. We've looked at John now becoming involved. He is to measure the temple, the altar, and the worshipers, because there's a purpose for that, because what's to come, they need protection. And God will protect them. We have some witnesses coming on the scene in verse 3. We'll start there next week. We'll look at those witnesses. I hope that you see. I hope that you recognize that God is back to take possession of what was his. The first Adam lost it, lost everything. Second Adam, the Lord Jesus, is going to regain it all. And we're coming to the close of him taking possession. I heard this morning, we looked at the numbers of the population of the earth just a few weeks ago. I heard today a different number. And that number was 250,000. That's how many die every day. 250,000 die every day. Some go to heaven. Some go to hell. 250,000. We look at the disaster down in Haiti. Numbers getting close to that. But you see, that's an everyday occurrence. Why do we need to have the radio programs? Why do we need the internet? Why do we need to be out telling people about Jesus? We've got that many people dying. All you have to do is look in the newspaper, and you'll find somebody your age that died. Just the last couple of months, we've lost two classmates. Two classmates. That brings it home. People you spent years going to school with, and you read in the paper that they're dead. That's not the first ones. We've lost several classmates. Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? They thought it was a neat thing to do back years ago. We had a reunion. In the announcement, they invited all of our class to come here to church. We had activities on Saturday night, and we would come here on Sunday morning and then have a picnic Sunday afternoon. Three of us came. Suze, myself, and one other. See, they don't care. They would rather have the world than have a Savior in Jesus Christ. If they go into this time, my friend, if they're not one of those 250,000, they will go into this period of time. We need to be busy about giving out the gospel. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunities that you give us to give out the gospel. You could write it in the skies. You could present your precious word a thousand ways, but you have chosen to use us, born-again believers. Ones that have trusted in you, take that precious word. No one should be able to say it with more excitement and joy than one that has experienced it. Anyone that's truly born again has experienced it. Has, Lord Jesus, you're in our hearts. You live within our hearts. So please help us to go out, share the gospel. Show folks there's only one way. It's not a religion. It's a personal relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Now please, speak to hearts now as we sing this closing hymn. I thank and praise you for all that have come to hear your precious word today. And I hope that these words spoke to the hearts of all that are here. Thank you, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.